You're listening to Let's Get Legal, hosted by John Hansen and powered by the Illinois State Bar Association. Today's show is sponsored by the law offices of Jeffrey A. Rabin and Associates, attorney Christian Luciano from Vogelzang Law, and attorney Jim Fabrini at WindyCityLawFirm.com. Now, here's John Hansen, and let's get legal.
That's right, at 2:09 here on WGN. Tell voiceover Ernie it's Luciano. Christian Luciano Santiago from Vogelzang Law. Christian, good to chat with you, my friend. How are you?
I'm doing well. I'm always great to speak with you and have the opportunity to talk to everyone about, you know, what we do.
And you do a lot of asbestos litigation. And the last time I chatted with one of your colleagues just a couple weeks ago on news that perhaps the Trump administration would reverse a Biden-era decision to essentially ban the last asbestos that had been legally allowed in U.S. manufacturing. We have an update, don't we, Christian?
We do. Thankfully, the Trump administration has decided to go back and not through the EPA, the Environmental Protection Agency, remove that ban that was instituted back in 2024 by the Biden administration. As we all know, and maybe our viewers or listeners right now are not, don't know, but asbestos is our carcinogenic substance that was used in, you know, hundreds of different types of products throughout the early 20th century. So it's always good when a toxic substance is getting taken out and fully banned by the government, because up until a couple years ago, up until the ban, it was being used still in products.
Yeah, I mean, shame on parties of both presidents, or presidents of both parties, for no ban up until 2024. I'm glad the Trump administration has seen through the earlier review of that decision and decided to stick with it. Why, Christian, right, is there any reason why it took so long? Or are there just multiple different kinds of asbestos and we kind of worked through them over the years in terms of banning them?
Well, there are different types of asbestos. There's, you know, the most typical type of asbestos that's used is chrysotile asbestos. You know, to put it, to explain to our listeners, asbestos really is just a rock. It's a mineral that's found, that's mined, and then it's ground up, basically, and used in different types of products. Usually, the majority of the asbestos that's used is chrysotile, which is what that white asbestos looks like, those white fibers that you've seen before. And then there's other types of asbestos, which are either the amphibole asbestos fibers, which are a little bit different and definitely more harmful than the chrysotile asbestos. In terms of the banning, I would say, you know, why it took so long. Honestly, unfortunately, I don't really have an answer. You know, it's been widely known since the early 1920s, 1930s, since this was being studied by public health officials and doctors and out of New York, that asbestos does cause harm to, you know, everyone's lungs and eventually can lead to the development of lung cancer and mesothelioma.
Right.
Which is another rare form of cancer.
And we know mesothelioma, and I say we know, I only know this because of so many of your lawyers at Vogelzang educating me and our listeners on it, but mesothelioma is, as far as we know, only caused by asbestos exposure. And now, I don't want to freak anyone out,
right,
because I know a lot of people work in buildings where asbestos may still be there, or have worked in buildings where it was existing in the building or around them, or there's even people that work with asbestos in the form that it could get in their lungs who don't end up with lung cancer,
right,
or mesothelioma. This is not a 100% thing at all, not to freak anyone out.
Right.
But it's just,
right,
good to note that, of course, that exposure can lead to some very serious stuff. Christian, I feel like I've heard the Vogelzang commercials for so long and seen them on TV, because you guys do incredible work in this area, that I was shocked to learn when we started talking that up until 2024, some of it was still being used. And unfortunately, that means that we're going to be dealing, you guys are, with these unfortunate cases probably for decades to come, because there is such a latency period, right?
There is, and that's the unfortunate part, because when we deal with these cases, you know, when we get a call from a potential client, we are having to create this chronology of their work history or their life or their loved one's work history, because that is another way that you can also, specifically for mesothelioma, you don't have to actually work with asbestos or around asbestos. It could be your loved one that did that throughout their working career, and then they would be taking home back those fibers on their clothes. And if you're the one washing the clothes at home, that's how you're being exposed. And we unfortunately have had clients that have had mesothelioma as a diagnosis just through that very secondary exposure, if you want to explain it like that. But yes, the problem with the latency period, I would say, with asbestos exposure is, you know, from the moment of exposure, the one that the, because not just one fiber causes the cancer, let's say like that. We look at it more of as a cumulative exposure, and that's why we go and talk about, you know, the cumulative life of work that this individual has done. And every single fiber counts in that way. So we look at it from that perspective. But from the moment of exposure to the moment of actual diagnosis, there's a usual, for specifically mesothelioma, there's a latency period of around, at a minimum of, I would say, 15, 20 years, I would say, is the earliest that I've personally seen it from the moment of exposure. But typically, it's somewhere more close to around 25 to 30, up to 40 years after Wow. you've started being exposed to asbestos. So yes, unfortunately for individuals that have been exposed to asbestos, let's say in 2015, for example, up until 2024, their diagnosis most likely wouldn't come about up until, you know, the 2030s, the 2040s. So that's, it's a horrible thing to think about, that there's so much time that you never know. Even if you have been exposed, you really are not going to 100% develop cancer or mesothelioma from the exposure. There is a thing that, you know, each of us has a certain level of individual susceptibility to the development of cancer, but even more so, just again, like you were saying, not to alarm everyone that, you know, if you've been exposed, you're not going to automatically develop the mesothelioma or lung cancer or asbestosis.
Right. Is this one that is the Biden administration banned? Was that ban in effect? Is it already in effect? Or is there some period of time where this is still being used until a ban takes effect?
So technically it is in effect. The EPA finalized the ban in March of 2024. From there on, it will take into effect fully to phase out the use of chrysotile asbestos up until 2026. So it is, there's a phase out period, and there is an immediate prohibition on the importation and manufacturing of, you know, asbestos containing, chrysotile containing forms of products. But then the full enforcement goes into, by 2026, there is no longer going to be, it'll be completely prohibited.
I imagine there's a lot of people out there that work in the trades who assumed, and I think rightfully so, that some of these dangerous trades of the past, now we know what we know, were being told what they were potentially breathing in and given the proper equipment not to breathe it in. And to maybe some people finding or listening right now, knowing that chrysotile asbestos was still being used as till recently, like, should people be following up with their employers right now about what they've been working with and whether they have been using this stuff? Or were we at least wise enough over the past couple of decades to alert and prepare tradesmen and women for how to deal with this safely? Do you kind of understand what I'm asking, Christian?
Yeah, no, I totally understand what you're asking. So it's a twofold question, and I'll answer it in this way. I think that, you know, obviously, the first thing that you should always do, if you've ever suspected that you have been at your workplace, at a job site, or anywhere that you would have been exposed to asbestos through your employer, it is always the first thing to do is obviously alert your employer and ask, was I exposed? Can there be any testing done on the area that I've been working in with the materials that I've been working in? I'm concerned that I may have been exposed to asbestos. So that's number one. And number two, I would say also, yes, there has been education, you know, when you're dealing with workers that are working through a union, through a union hall, even for a private employer, there is some level of education that these trades have. And by trades, I mean anywhere from insulators, electricians, carpenters, plumbers, pipe fitters, you name it, you know, the gamut, because asbestos honestly was used in every single thing that you could think of. But my point is, One, yes, the majority of contractors and union halls and all of these employers may have some level of training, especially since, you know, there was in 1972 and around 1973, their OSHA came out with the asbestos standard. So, you know, the Occupational Safety and Employment Agency, that comes out to job sites and checks that everything is being done to their standards. Includes also, you know, if there is a disturbance of asbestos, there is a certain level of reporting that these companies, contractors, individuals that are working with these materials, they have to do. So there is some level of awareness. The problem is that, you know, when you're working with, for example, a gasket material that was manufactured and then sold off, and then eventually you are the one using it or removing it from a product, then you're being exposed, but nobody's ever telling you. You're not reading the warning label on the box. Nobody's telling you whether that had asbestos or not. And if it did, you know, nobody's going to tell you, hey, you should wear a mask, or, you know, maybe you should wear a respirator when you're working with this.
Okay. Christian Luciano Santiago joining us from Vogelsang. Got a call from Diana out in Woodridge. Hi, Diana. I'm like your neighbor. I'm in Downers Grove. And you have a personal story to share, yeah?
Can you hear me?
We can hear you just fine, Diana.
Okay. Yeah. My mom passed in 92. And probably, you know what, it was at a time, obviously, when no one really knew about it.
Right. And, was it mesothelioma, Diane?
It was. Yes. Oh. Yeah, full blown. And she was diagnosed in May of 91, and she passed in February of 92.
Oh, my goodness.
So it was quick. And the story, you know, when we found out, because she just started out with a cough, and then we had her took fluid, and mm-hmm. you know, that's what they found. And from we had at the time, and I'd be lying if I said his name, but we had the doctor. Our physician didn't refer him. We found him. My brother mm-hmm. and I, we found him. He wrote the book on mesothelioma at the time, and he met with us and, you know, described exactly what would happen, and that's really what happened. Her primary had said where she grew up and two of the factories, so to speak, she grew up next to Crown Stove.
So she just was nearby for the asbestos. Or did she work there?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. No, she lived in that, and they said they were probably blowing that right into the stoves. And then she worked at a factory off of Cicero Avenue, which is no longer, they moved, you know, mm-hmm. To probably a safe place in Carroll Stream many years later, probably a year or two before she passed. Oh. And another friend, a teacher at my kid's school, her mom worked at another location along Cicero Avenue, and they had said epidemiologists had done a study
wow.
of that area that had a high incidence of asbestos, not asbestosis, it was asbestos. My concern is always, and I think I caught a little bit of your conversation because I was talking to your producer.
Uh-huh.
My consideration was always, from the time I was 8 years old, I did all the laundry.
Oh, wow.
I did everything. Mm-hmm. Yes.
And Diane, Diane, I don't mean to interrupt, but I just got to speed it along because we are limited on Christian's time.
Yeah, sure.
Do you have any symptoms? Sure. Or everything's healthy so far?
No, everything is healthy.
Well, that's
my
good.
Brother and I, we are healthy.
Oh, thank God,
it's
yeah.
just always been a concern.
Of course, of course.
And it was too bad in that time, you know, that here's what it was.
For sure.
You know, going to work to make your life better and dying from it.
Oh, Diane,
so,
I can hear the.
I put in my two cents.
Yeah. No, I'm glad you did.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, it was hard. Anyone going through this, I feel very bad for them because it is it's a horrible disease.
Thank you for
have
to endure.
Yeah,
and for
take
family
care of someone.
Too.
Be a caregiver. You take care. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Diane. I appreciate the phone call.
Thank you,
and and Christian, I mean, you hear stories like that, and you could hear the emotion in Diane's voice, even 30 some years later. And there was a lot of negligent behavior. And just to remind people, the cases that you guys work with Vogel saying, you're doing this because companies, employers, manufacturers knew this was bad. These are not cases you are trying to get a handout for someone that unfortunately came across asbestos.
Exactly.
These companies knew this.
Yeah, this is something that has been corporate knowledge since as early as the 1920s. All of these companies have known that asbestos is a carcinogenic substance that is being used in the manufacturing of products of like insulation, gasketing, wires, stoves, everything you can think of brake pads for cars, clutches. I could keep going down like caulking for window. Everything that you could imagine has had some level of asbestos at some point. Again, not that one exposure is going to automatically cause the disease, but if you are working for 30 years with it, that is a substantial amount of exposure. And the story, like Diane just told, she just called in, is exactly the story that I hear all the time from my clients or their loved ones. If their loved ones are the ones that are bringing the lawsuit because their loved one just passed away from the disease. You know, mesothelioma is a rare cancer, but it's a very aggressive cancer. It arises in the lining of your lung, and slowly but surely, it literally crunches up your lung, so you die of asphyxiation, so you can't breathe.
Oh, okay. Well, it's not a pleasant thought, but it is nice to know that you guys fight for people that have gone through it or going through it and their families. Christian, we're out of time today. Right. Thanks for the update. That is good news that we will keep that ban in place. And I'm glad that they chose to do that at the administration. I know you guys are too at Vogelzang. Vogelzang Law is where people can go. VogelzangLaw.com. Christian, take care, my friend, okay?
Thank you. Take care as well.
All right.